You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to the newly relaunched Locked On MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. You can follow the show at Twitter at LockedOnMLB, and you can follow me at Sully Baseball, or on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. You can get Locked On MLB on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Player FM, or wherever you get podcasts. You can also go to the website, LockedOnMLB.com, and hear the show directly. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. And you can email us at LockedOnMLB at gmail.com. And check out the other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get your team every day and listen to the takes of local experts on the biggest stories. It's March 25th, 2019. Today's show will be talking about which fan bases need a title the most in 2019 and a few of my rule change suggestions for pace of play. So let's get to it. So yes, welcome to the relaunching of Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. I've been doing this for a long time. I hosted the Sully Baseball Daily podcast, which did over 1,600 consecutive days with an original podcast from 2012 to 2017. I did the Sully Baseball podcast. After that, I appeared on HBO Sports and Curse of the Bambino and Reverse the Curse of Bambino, in Spaceman, the documentary and the movie with Josh Duhamel. Way back in ESPN's Cold Pizza, I've been a comedian, a television producer, a writer. I've done all sorts of things, and I'm a diehard baseball fan, and I am taking over the show here, and I'm going to be talking baseball all season long here. Thanks to David Locke, everyone at the Locked On Podcasting Network, and check out the other shows. Check out the other baseball shows. There's some great baseball shows out there going in-depth for each individual team. I'm going to be talking about baseball as a whole. I will make the, I don't want to say it's a confession, but it's, I will just come out and say that I'm a native New Englander, so I'm a diehard Boston Red Sox fan. I live in California, and so I get the West Coast perspective as well. And, you know, it's interesting. Since I've seen my team win a bunch of World Series, I've grown to appreciate the narratives of other teams winning. And I'm really interested to see how this season will unfold. Yeah, part of me is dying to see the Red Sox win back-to-back championships. But another part of me would really want to see some of the other teams that have suffered and gone through a lot, as my team had for generations. You know, I want to see some of them win as well. One of the things that I did on the Sully Baseball blog and on the podcast was I tried to quantify suffering. Let me explain what I mean by that. For years and years and years, there were three easy answers to which fan bases are suffering the most. You have the Cubs, who hadn't won the World Series since 1908. You have the White Sox, who hadn't won the World Series since 1917. You have the Red Sox, who hadn't won the World Series since 1918. And because of that, it was generations and generations. Those are the three you can point to as the longest suffering sports fan. Well, since the White Sox and the Red Sox and the Cubs have all won World Series relatively recently, certainly all the century, suddenly it became harder to figure out which fan base is suffering the most. And so what I did on my blog is I created a metric called the Suffering Index. Now, please, before anyone gets deep into this, realize it's me doing this slightly tongue-in-cheek, kind of on my own. I'm not a mathematician from Caltech. I may be in Pasadena right now, but that doesn't mean I'm a brilliant mind. But I came up with a formula because I wanted to weigh a lot of different factors, not just how long you've waited for a world championship, but also how long you've waited for a pennant, how long you've been since your previous World Series title, because I wanted to add in the factor of teams winning multiple championships or having long stretches between titles. I also wanted to factor in how many times your team has lost a Game 7 or Game 5 of a division series or a one-game playoff, because those are the most frustrating losses, because you're like, oh, we were so close. And so I tried to come up with a formula that took all of those into account and figure out which fan bases are going into the 2019 season suffering the most and suffering the least. And I have it posted on sullybaseball.wordpress.com, the final results of what is called the suffering index. And going into this season, which fan bases could really use a championship this year? That this would be the generational moment, the moment that would relieve suffering, would turn frowns into smiles, and be that euphoric moment for a fan base to say, finally, not only did we win this year, but it took all of the angst and anguish from all those other years. Those are all wiped out. That's one of the amazing things that happen when a generational championship takes place. That happened with my Red Sox in 04. All of a sudden, the 86 World Series, the 78 playoff, the 75 World Series, the Boone home run, all those things were wiped out. They're done. It happened with the White Sox. It happened with the Cubs. It happened with teams you may not necessarily think of in the same way. This is the advantage of seeing it from the West Coast. When the Angels won in 2002, all the failures, including the homer off of Donnie Moore and the losing the 82 playoffs to the Milwaukee Brewers and the collapse of 95, that's all wiped out. The Giants had an unbelievable history of falling on their face, including a World Series where Willie McCovey twice in the same at-bat nearly won the World Series, and one ball went foul and the other was caught by Bobby Richardson. An earthquake hit the Giants in the World Series. I mean, that's how cursed they were. All that was wiped out. The Astros, think of all those extra inning losses that the Astros have had over the years. And that was finally wiped out. To have that kind of championship for a fan base is the best. And so I calculated, using the formula, which is a little too lengthy to just sort of list on this podcast, so just bear with me that there's an actual formula. And I found that of the 30 fan bases, the three with the least amount of suffering, their final tally came in single digits. The Red Sox, no surprise. The Giants, because of their multiple championships that they've won, no surprise. And the Houston Astros with their recent World Series title. Those are the three franchises, the three fan bases who are suffering the least. But there are five which came up with triple digit off the chart suffering. And mind you, I'm very careful when I say fan bases, because the five fan bases that have been suffering the most, number five, Pittsburgh. Number four, Milwaukee. That includes the Braves and the Brewers. Number three, Oakland. Number two, Cleveland. And number one, the most suffering fan base in all of baseball, Washington. And that includes the Senators along with the Washington Nationals. That the city hasn't won a World Series title since the 1924 World Series. They haven't been in a World Series since 1933, and they have a gigantic gap where they didn't even have a team. I don't have Montreal on there because there's no way to gauge their suffering since they don't have a team right now. It's kind of like asking the question, what's the biggest number? So those teams, those franchises, those fan bases are the ones that could use a World Series title the most in 2019. One of the reasons why Pittsburgh and Oakland are so high up there is for all the years where they lost a do-or-die game. whether it was the Francisco Cabrera game or all those wild card games or the Game 5 against St. Louis in 2013 for the Pirates, or think of all of, just watch Moneyball, where they cover at least two of the Game 5s that the Oakland A's have lost in the division series, a couple wild card games. Those games pile up on your misery because you think, we could have won! And obviously the Cleveland Indians are up there because they haven't won a World Series since 1948. And in the wild card era, there have only been two extra inning Game 7s of a World Series. And the Indians lost both of them. So, the Pirates, Brewers, A's, Indians, Nationals. If one of those five teams wins the 2019 World Series, it would be an astronomical relief. The pressure off of those fan bases would be, I mean, it would be the things that you talk about for generations. And take the franchise off the hook for probably another generation more. Royals fans, yep, they've got at least a decade of goodwill. You can make the argument the Astros fans have as well. You would think Cubs fans would have that off, you know, that sort of pressure taken off of them, but there's already rumblings about Joe Madden, but that's a discussion for a different podcast. So as a Boston fan, I know we have the least amount of suffering. And I also want to make clear, I'm only talking about baseball. I can't factor in everything else. I mean, Pittsburgh fans have had the Penguins and relatively recent Steeler championships. Obviously, if you're an Oakland fan, you've got the Warriors. Obviously, if you're a Washington fan, you got the Caps. The LeBron one with Cleveland. I mean, I can't factor in other sports with this. I can only factor in baseball. Nobody wants to see another Red Sox championship unless you're me or another Red Sox fan. But if your team isn't going to win, if you're one of the other 26 teams, not the Red Sox and not the five that I mentioned, if your team's out of it and one of these teams are in it and you're thinking, who should I root for? Think about a Pirate fan. Think about a Brewer fan. Think about an A's fan. Think about an Indians fan. Think about a Nationals fan. Think about what they've all gone through and realize how special this would be for them. And honestly, how could you hate any of those fan bases? Who here says, oh man, I hate the Brewers? You can't do that. So think about that. Those are the teams that are suffering the most going into this year. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about the rule changes going into this year. Remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On MLB and the new Himalaya podcast app. In the expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya and their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On MLB. All right, I know my mom is listening to this, so mom, just do me a favor and skip ahead a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. All right, everybody else, let's talk about sex. Good, ready-to-go sex. Now, you can increase your performance and build up your confidence. Everyone but my mom, listen up. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, while stuck in traffic after a Dodger game. I don't judge. They're chewable, and they work twice as fast as the pill, so you know you'll be ready quicker than a manager can make a pitching change. Now, everyone I know has tested it, and I have many trustworthy friends who confide with me very personal details. They all tell me it gives them a little extra and it works great. Now, we baseball fans, we know all about getting a little edge with performance enhancers. And this is just isn't for people who can't perform. This is for anyone who wants something a little extra. Look, Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships to your door, discreet package, no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. In fact, the only awkwardness involved in Blue Chew is knowing that my mom is probably still listening. Made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Now, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. All of that just by going to BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Once again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. Thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast. Of course, a lot of new rules and potential new rules are coming around for baseball. I don't really have that strong feeling about many of these. One fewer mound visit per game. The inning breaks are shortened by 5 seconds and 25 seconds for the national games. And there you go. That's 2 minutes off the game. Is that really going to make anyone watch a game more? So you've made it 2 minutes shorter. You know, it's some people don't understand. There's a difference between the pace of play and length of game. You could have a long game that's really exciting, and you could have a short game that's really dull. You have a pace of the game, and you have is how the game unfolds. How much dead time is there in a game? And no matter what, there's going to be dead time between the innings. Let's see. There's the pitchers must face a minimum of three batters or reach the end of a half inning. I came up with on the podcast, and I've heard other people make this suggestion as well, so I can't pretend that I'm the only person who thought of this, although I did think of it independently. I believe that what you do about all the pitching changes, because I can certainly understand why watching the game and you have seven or eight pitchers going and the final score is 3-2 in nine innings. I get why that can be frustrating. I also understand why some teams did it. You know, not every team has the pitching staff of the 1995 Braves. Milwaukee got to... They had a lead in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series by doing this, by mixing and matching and doing this sort of stuff. And, you know, and it worked to that degree. They got to within a few innings of the World Series. But I also understand there's sometimes you're watching a game going, can you just let that pitcher get through this inning? Do we have to stop, bring a pitcher, take the pitcher out, bring the pitcher in, have them warm up to get someone else out? I mean, to me, it would drive me really crazy when I watch a game where there's like two outs, nobody on, the number eight hitter's coming up, and they bring in another pitcher. Going, you really don't think that pitcher could have got that out? And so I understand that there may be something to do to try to, oh, I don't know, curb that a little bit. I think the solution for that isn't doing the you have to face three batters. I think the solution is that when you exchange your lineup cards at the beginning of the game, you have your starting lineup, and you have the four pitchers that you're going to use over that nine innings. You get four, and that's it. Barring an injury, and if someone's taken out by an injury, mandatory, they have to go on the 15-day injured list. Is that what we're calling it now, the injured list? Fine, call it whatever you want. So you get your four pitchers. And if your pitcher gets bombed early and you got to go to that second one, you got to be really careful how you use your third and fourth pitchers. And to me, that would mean you still have the opportunity if that starting pitcher gives you six or seven innings, if you want to mix and match late in the game, which is probably the most ideal time to do it, or you have a left inning one out, you know, a left-handed one out guy, kind of like the way that Javi Lopez was for the Giants for all those championship years. If you have one of those guys, you could put him on your lineup card, but you get one shot to use that pitcher. And if you have a pitcher who goes nine, then you don't have to use those other three. But it also gives you a rotation of relievers. Okay, you get ready. You hear relievers like to know what their role is. Well, you can tell them in advance, you're going to pitch tomorrow. You're on the card. Such and such, you're on the card. And so that means you're not going to have five or six pitchers that you're going to rotate in through nine innings. Now, once you get past nine innings, then you can dip into your reserve and, you know, you can have a new pitcher. I think there should be no limits on the extra innings. But for 9 innings, boom, that's what you have. And you would have, by definition, you would have fewer pitching changes. But you also wouldn't completely be dictating how you use a pitcher. If you only want that pitcher to face this one batter, you can still do that. But you've burnt one of your 4 pitchers. I think that's a better solution. I'll tell you another solution. There are 2 solutions I have for games that go really long. And I brought this up on the podcast last year, and I'm going to reiterate it. I am not afraid of ties. After 12 innings, you can have a game go into extra innings. But once you get past the 12th, it's a tie. Now, I'm talking regular season only. Postseason, like Game 3 of the World Series, which went 18 innings and had that heroic relief performance by Nathan Eovaldi, which resulted in him letting up a walk-off homer. He gets the loss. That's how cruel stats can be for relievers. But in the postseason, games can go as long as you want. But in the regular season, after 12, boom, screw it. It's a tie. Move on. Most teams don't play that many games beyond 12 innings anyway, so it only will affect about 4 or 5 games throughout the year anyway. And most of the time, when you see what happens after the 12th inning, you're doing it in front of tiny crowds. The place tends to thin out the longer the game goes. You're also putting yourself at risk. You're putting some pitchers' arms at risk. And you're bringing starters out of the bullpen. And especially if you have games that are going on, like if the White Sox are playing the Orioles and it goes 16, 17 innings, do we really need that? Yes, you could be traditional and say, yes, they got to play till they win. Why? Why? At some point, you know what? You had 12 innings to win this game. Let's move on. End the game. Tie. Let's end it. And when you look at how stacked the pennant races were last year, I took a look at the results for the Brewers and Cubs and Dodgers and Rockies, the 4 teams that all ended deadlock at the end of the year. And the main difference that would have happened, the Dodgers would have won the division, and it would have been razor thin because they would have had 3 ties and the Rockies would have had 2 ties. So it would have been basically percentage points. The Cubs, because they had 4 ties, they would have gone 93-64-4, and the Brewers would have gone 94-67-1, which meant the Brewers would have the Cubs would have 4 percentage points higher than the Brewers, and they would have been the National League Central champs instead of the Brewers. Okay, so Brewer fans may not like this idea, but think about your saving some of your arms. You don't have to have some of those crazy games going late. And it affected 1 game for the Brewers, 2 games for the Rockies, 3 games for the Dodgers, 4 games for the Cubs out of 162. So I have no compunction of saying baseball games can have ties. I'll tell you another thing. And this is something I didn't suggest. This is a new one. A new Sully rule that I would implement. Do you know what teams should have the right to do instead of having like position players pitch, as happened like crazy last year? And apparently there's going to be some rule about position players not being able to pitch unless it's a 9 or 10 run lead. How about this? A team can give up. You can wave the white flag and say, do you know what? We're done. We concede the game. A concession should be allowed. If you come in and you bring in a position player to pitch, aren't you conceding the game anyway? When Roman came in and pitched in Game 3 of the division series last year for the Yankees as they were getting their butts kicked by the Red Sox, they did that so they didn't have to use Betances, they didn't have to use Chapman out of the bullpen for the 9th inning. Wasn't that basically conceding the game? Wasn't that waving the white flag? A team should have the right to do that. if you're looking up, said, geez, if we keep playing, we're going to blow out some of the arms here and, you know, we're going to risk an injury. Do you know what? This game's done. We're done. Yeah, it might be a little humiliating, but it would be more humiliating than having your shortstop pitch, which used to be quaint because it happened like once a year, but now it happened every other week last year. Give the managers the right to concede. You're saving a pitcher's arm. You're stopping any chance of injury on the field. Or the game's done. And don't tell me the fans wouldn't stand for it. If you could say, you like everyone, go home. Just go home. Well, there's more. No, we're done. We're done. Beat the traffic. Get out. Get out now. Again, that should be allowed. Speed it up. It wouldn't happen often. And I know one of the great things about baseball is that you could be losing 20-0 in the bottom of the ninth with two outs and nobody on, and technically you still have a chance to win. But how often does that happen? Rarely. Super rarely. So, if you want to speed up in terms of the use of pitchers, limit them to four. And if you want to have a game going, God, why are we still here? Let's eliminate the number of times that you look up and you say, why are we still here? That means a tie? Yeah, guess what? We don't have a game going on until 2:30 in the morning in May. Yeah, that may sound romantic, but it's not practical. It's not good for the team. And a team should be able to say, you know what? We got 162 of these this year, and we ain't winning this one. So guess what, everyone? You can go home early. Bye-bye. That should be able to be there. Now, will that solve everything? No. No. But I think it would speed a few things up, and it would take out a little bit of that overuse and overmanaging that you saw in the postseason. Maybe Dave Roberts lets Hill pitch an inning more if he knows he only has four pitchers to turn to in the World Series last year. Maybe you see fewer box scores that look like a spring training game in the pitchers section when you look at the final score is 2-1. Just a thought of how to adjust these rules. You don't like the limited the pitchers? You don't like the sense of a tie? You don't think a team should be able to give up? Is that just the traditionalist in you talking? If I gave you truth serum, you're at the ballpark, it's 13-0, and you see your team's about to bring in the catcher to pitch, part of you isn't saying, do you know what? Let's just go home. Everybody. I love baseball as much as anyone as you'll ever meet. But at that point, I'm flipping away to another game. Wouldn't you? If you're going around and say, oh, what's the score of this game? Oh, the Reds are playing the Pirates. It's 12-0, and the shortstop's pitching. Do you say, oh, great, let me watch that? No one needs to see that. You can wave the white flag. All right, thanks for listening to the first episode of the relaunched Locked On MLB podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can find this. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. And leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and iTunes and help spread the word. And remember to check out the other baseball podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Mike Trout, his extension, and why the Angels must win soon. But until then, this has been the Locked On MLB podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.